As community is so important at FPSB, we take a few moments at the beginning of each service to greet each other. Please specifically say hello to anyone you might not know. Now please rise as you are able and to join us in the gathering song, hymn number 298, Wake Now My Senses, found in your hymnals.
Oh, please sit down. Today's call to worship is an excerpt from Pass It On by Henry Burton. Have you had a kindness shown? Pass it on. 'Twas not given for thee alone. Pass it on. Let it travel down the years. Let it wipe another's tears till in heaven the deed appears. Pass it on. I would now like to invite a living model to light the chalice. Please join us for the words of chalice printed in the order of service. At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each at times, the gratitude of those who like the flame of sauce. Please rise as you are able and join us singing hymn number 354, We Laugh, We Cry, verses 1 and 2. Oh, please remain standing for the covenant and affirmation.
is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Now it is the time in our service when we share with each other the joys and sorrows that we are experiencing. Please raise your hand if you have a joy or concern to share, and Shawen or Corinne will bring the mic to you. When it is your turn, please stand, say your name, and then share your joy or concern.
Okay, my name is Anna Cataldo Holmes.
I'm Julian.
And I'm Olivia.
And we would like to light a candle of joy on behalf of all the youth here at FPC, one for Michelle, because Michelle does so much for all of us, and she works very hard, and we really appreciate it. Can we hold? Okay.
And one for Whitney, because she's so awesome, always has a smile, and she's just amazing.
And it's still working. I will light one final one for Mike, because if you haven't noticed, there's a lot of music in this service, and about 90% of it wouldn't have been possible without his contributions today. So.
We light one final candle for the joys and concerns that are in our hearts but remain unspoken today.
Today's message for all ages is a story written by some of our senior youth. Once there was a... Wait, what?
That was all
him. Yeah. Oh. I wrote the initial drafts, and other people helped me edit it. Once there was a beautiful island with vast forests and many animals. Among these animals lived the furs. The furs were somewhat similarly shaped to humans, although much bigger, more hairy, fierce-looking, and ugly. One day, settlers came to the island and built a village. However, they soon discovered that they were not alone. They started seeing groups of furs coming close to their village. One day, the furs came up to the village wall itself, and two of them climbed over.
They explored a bit, and something caught their eyes. There was a small pen next to a hut with a pig and her piglets fast asleep. They were curious about the pigs, because they had never seen such creatures, so each carefully picked up a piglet to examine it. Soon, some of the settlers noticed the furs holding their piglets and started yelling at them. In fear, the furs ran back to the forest, still holding the piglets. The furs now realized that the settlers were dangerous, and the settlers now thought that the furs were determined to steal all of their food. Whenever one group encountered the other, they would attack. The two groups hated each other.
But one day something wonderful happened. The son of a settler was wandering through the woods, armed with a knife, to check some traps that he had set earlier. But when he got there, he found a rather young fur caught in the trap, struggling. When the fur noticed the human, it froze. Its eyes grew wide in fear. The fur, fearing for its life, backed away as much as it could. It was obvious that it was in pain. In recognizing the pain on the poor fur's face, a strange thought crossed the settler boy's mind. Perhaps the furs weren't so different after all. The settlers had always been afraid of the furs, but maybe the furs were equally scared of the settlers.
Much to the fur's surprise, the boy approached it. He sawed at the rope that trapped the fur, and suddenly the rope snapped. The fur was freed. Both of them looked up at the same time, and their eyes met. In that moment, it seemed that there really wasn't any difference between them. The human slowly smiled, and the fur smiled back. The moment was interrupted, however, when more furs began coming near, and the young fur left to join them.
Each returned home and told their parents what had happened. Neither set of parents could believe that the groups could ever be peaceful with each other. However, they agreed to attempt peace. Over the following days, each group started noticing that the other group was less hostile. And the next week, they even started smiling at each other as they passed. The settlers grew less wary of the furs and let them come closer to the village than the furs had ever been allowed before.
Finally, there came a day when the furs were allowed to come into the village. They looked about in wonder for a bit, then left. But just a few minutes later, they returned in a much larger group carrying various items. At the front were the young fur the young settler had saved and the furs who had fled with the piglets. The older furs were holding the piglets in their arms, and the little animals looked quite healthy and happy. No one was sure why they had come, but they seemed harmless enough. It was, however, now obvious that they had not been trying to steal food when they had taken the piglet, since it was still alive and had clearly been taken care of well. Then the young fur in the front of the procession pointed into the gathered human crowd, and all heads turned and saw the young settler who had helped the young fur from the trap.
The human child looked around, somewhat confused. One of their parents asked if this was the fur that the child had saved, and the child nodded. All were silent, unsure what was going to happen. The young fur moved its hand in a waving gesture, motioning for the young human to come. Hesitantly at first, the young settler obeyed. One, two, three steps. His confidence grew. Four, five, six steps. The child was walking quickly now. Seven, eight, and suddenly the fur and the human were standing face to face. Then nothing happened for what seemed to be ages, but finally the young fur stepped forwards and embraced the young human.
In that story, the single simple kindness of the young human spread despite the conflict between the settlers and the furs. The single kindness led to more, and that ultimately resulted in peace between the two groups. But we don't have to be a fictional character to make such a difference in the world. Anyone can do good things, and who knows, some of them may change the world for the better.
We now have a song by the youth choir, and
we enter into a time of prayer and meditation together, first spoken with a quote by the Dalai Lama. This is my simple religion. There is no need for temples, no need for complicated philosophy. Our own brain, our own heart is our temple. The philosophy is kindness.
Today's reading is an excerpt from The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. And after a long time, the boy came back again. I am sorry, boy, said the tree, but I have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone. My teeth are too weak for apples, said the boy. My branches are gone, said the tree. You cannot swing on them. I am too old to swing on branches, said the boy. My trunk is gone, said the tree. You cannot climb. I am too tired to climb, said the boy. I am sorry, sighed the tree. I wish that I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I am just an old stump. I am sorry. I don't need very much now, said the boy. Just a quiet place to sit and rest. I am very tired. Well, said the tree, straightening herself up as much as she could. Well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down. Sit down and rest. And the boy did, and the tree was happy.
Now, a few of our youth will read reflections that we've all written about our theme. I didn't write a reflection myself, but my friend Alana Wu, who could not make it, wanted me to read hers for her. Terror. What is it exactly? What causes it? Why do we feel fear? I know that fear brings people together and gives us a common enemy. We rise up against it as one. And we start to help one another. We look out for each other, and we protect those who need protecting, and we stand up for those whose voices aren't heard. Little, random acts of kindness become more common. As a resident of Acton, I've never really lived in fear of anything. We don't have gangs. There are rarely any kidnappings and murders. I can walk down the street and express who I am without the fear that someone will beat me up for what I believe in. I live in a really accepting community. There's almost nothing to be afraid of here. But on the 15th of April, 1 year ago, I experienced real terror for the first time in my life, the Boston Marathon bombing. I'm sure you all know about that tragedy. I was there. I still remember everything that happened that day because fear etched it into my memories, leaving a scar that can never heal. I will never forget that day. My mother and I were a block away, walking towards the finish line, when the first bomb went off. I saw the pale yellow smoke rise into the air, and I felt the ground vibrate. The cheering died down, and people stopped moving. What was that? Do you know? No, I don't. Should we turn around? Boom. The second bomb goes off. That's when we ran. People were eerily silent as we moved the opposite direction,
save for the cries of scared children. As we left, I saw many people running towards the explosion to help. These people became heroes. They were ordinary men and women who stepped in to help a complete stranger. They didn't do it for the fame or the interviews. They did it because it was the right thing to do. As we rounded the corner, people were streaming out of this train station. "What's going on? Why did they stop the trains?" they asked. Came in the replies. "We don't know. It was a manhole cover that blew off. It was a bomb. It was the terrorists. I don't know." A shrug of shoulders in a sea of grim faces. We kept walking. I felt sick to my stomach. I was confused. I knew something bad happened, but that was it. Truthfully, the confusion was the real terror, not knowing what had just happened a mere block away. All we knew is that we had to get out of there. The car was parked all the way back at Alewife Station, and every taxi that drove by was already taken. By then, I seriously thought I was going to faint or throw up. If we had to walk from Alewife from Boston, I don't think I would have made it. Fortunately, we found a cab driver who was dropping someone off. We asked him who would take us, but he was really not willing because it was the end of his shift, and he had to get home to his family. But something changed. Maybe it was the fear in our eyes, or the desperation that lingered in our words. This man finally agreed to take us to Alewife. Words cannot describe how relieved I felt in that moment. What that man did seems like a small deed, but it meant the world to me. The ride to Alewife seemed longer than usual, and once we got there, I went straight to Bertucci's to use the bathroom. The restaurant was deserted, the staff just standing around, listening to the news of the bombing on the radio. When I walked in, they offered me free drinks and a basket of bread. They probably guessed what had happened. And so, these people had offered the best they could give. Any other time, people would not offer free food. No one has ever reached out to me like this before. But what does it take to start seeing these good deeds in a community? A bombing? For me, it did. It really shouldn't. If we all just try to do one nice thing for someone and tell them to pass on the kindness, the world would be a nicer, better place for everyone to live in. It doesn't even have to be a huge deed. You could hold the door for someone or compliment a person you've never talked to at school or pay for the person after you in the drive-thru. Simple, random acts of kindness. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Olivia. I'll be reading a reflection I wrote. What is peace? When I was younger, I would have thought the answer was easy. No war. But as I got older, I realized, as I did with most things, it's actually a lot more complicated. Now I believe peace is not just the absence of war or even the kind actions of others. It is also a state of mind. It is a mutual feeling of empathy between two groups that are different than each other. It's the feeling that, even though these differences exist, they don't matter because everyone can be accepted no matter what. An example of when peace was lacking in a community I was a part of was when there was anti-gay and racist graffiti at my high school. Along with the shock that something like that could happen at such an accepting community, there's also the feeling of unrest that never quite went away for the rest of the day after I found out. I did not understand why anyone would ever do something like that, and I knew this person did not understand or did not care the impact their actions would have on the school. And I thought, this is not peace. For peace to start, it has to start with a mutual empathy within all of us, which I hope we've continued to fight for as a community.
Sharon. I've been thinking about small acts of kindness that I have experienced and what that has meant. One example is when adults at FPC have reached out to me, like Meg Costello and Kelly Reed. They have helped me to become more mature. I feel grateful that they want to take time to get to know our generation. They also helped me to do presentations and to speak to the congregation, like I am now, because I know that more adults are paying attention to me. Another example is one day after I finished my babysitting job, Michelle told me things like, "Thank you, you are such a hard worker. You are very helpful and good with kids." That made me feel very good, and it makes me want to compliment to other people in the same way. I want other people to feel that feeling too, that maybe they could also pass it on into the world. My last example is a little different. Yesterday, I helped remove garlic mustard plants at the Acton Arboretum with my dad because the plant does not belong here and it is taking over our native habitat. It felt good to make our town better. These are small ways that I and others around me have helped make this a kinder, more peaceful place. Thank you.
Kindness is one of those things that is thought of often, but is not done often. We often do acts of kindness for people we know, but not for people who we are unfamiliar with. If we can do acts of kindness for people other than people we're familiar with, it will make the world a more peaceful and better place.
With peace, there comes happiness. When you share that happiness, it becomes friendship. And along with friendship, there is peace.
This was a quote that Meg found, and it was her response to the quote. An eye for an eye only makes the whole world blind. If we take revenge, it will spread and make the world a hateful and blind place. But if we choose to turn the other cheek and instead spread kindness, it will spread and make the world a better place. To me, small things can make a big difference. It is a really important quote. Sometimes we don't realize that something as small and effortless as smiling at someone in the school halls or waving to a colleague at work can really brighten a person's day. When someone's having a bad day, just knowing that there are others around them that acknowledge them is important. Last year, when I was in eighth grade, I walked into my first day of life skills class. I didn't know anyone in the class, and I felt alone. The teachers let us pick who we sat with, so immediately everyone went to sit with their friends. I didn't know where to sit, and because I didn't know anyone. Then, a girl sitting at a table near me said, "You can sit here." She turned to me and smiled, and I walked over and sat on the chair next to her. We talked and bonded, and by the end of the 3-month-long class, I felt like I had known her my whole life. Now, looking back, I think it's crazy that I've only known her for a year because our entire friendship is because she said 4 words to me, "You can sit here." This is an important story to me because of a small action, I got to know an amazing girl who is now one of my best friends. Small things can also make a big difference when added together. If one person recycles one bottle, it's not going to make much of a difference. When many people recycle, together we have a significant positive impact on our planet. I think it's important to realize that even if we think something is pointless or won't benefit us, we need to think about others and that small things really do make a difference. And this was summarized in our chalice lighting today, which I will just reread. At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted a flame within us.
Okay, my name is Henry Sidolnik, and my reflection is a little different than the others. It's actually a limerick, which is a type of 5-line poem. So, there once was a world filled with war, and it made the people feel sore, but a single good act made all jaws go slack, and peace filled the world evermore.
My name's Bethan. Not everyone has the ability to drastically change the world for the better, but everyone can change someone else's life with very little effort to themselves. It costs a person as much to be kind as it does for them to be unkind. So why not be kind and do your part in making the world a better place? Today's benediction is a Jewish proverb. Grant us the ability to find joy and strength, not in the strident call to arms, but in the stretching out of our arms, to grasp our fellow creatures in the striving for justice and truth.
Go have coffee.